الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين وصلى الله على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد صلى الله وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا اللهم صل على أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وقوله الحق هو أصدق القائلين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد صدق الله العلي العظيم. I will speak about Surah Al-Falaq today, and I'll translate it, go over the meanings of the words of this surah and the lessons we derive from this surah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Say, it means قُلْ say. Say, Allah is speaking to the Prophet and saying that, say, O Prophet, to the people. أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. I seek refuge with the Lord of the rising day. بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. Rab is Lord. Rab is the Murabbi, someone who does tarbiyat, who sustains something, grows something. Falak is where from the darkness of the night the morning starts to appear, dawn appears. This breaking and shikoftan, this clearing of the darkness through the light is falak. In sharri ma khalaq, from the evil of that which he created. So I seek refuge from the evil of that which Allah created. Allah did not create evil, but the evil of that which he created. Wa min sharri ghasiqin idha waqab, and the evil of evening darkness when it overspreads. وَمِنْ شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبٍ وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا غَسَقٍ. غَسَق means when the darkness appears, takes over. It means when the redness of the sunset disappears. Darkness basically takes over. As long as the redness is present at the skyline, the horizon where the sun is setting, it's not really dark. When that goes away, it's completely dark. That's ghasaq. Wa min sharri ghasiqin idha waqab. So the dark night, ghasiq is the night, when the evil of the, and from the evil of the night when it overspreads, sticks over basically. So there's two things from which refuge is being sought. وَمِنْ شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ, and from the evil of the sorceresses. The women are more into magic. Not that it's limited to women, but more women apparently have been or still are in magic, in the field of blowing into knots and casting a spell on someone because of which that person may get sick or relationship may be affected, or for example some stress is created for someone, problems like that resulting from such spells that people are casting. مِنْ شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ. عُقَد means the knots. عَقْد is a knot. عُقَد is a plural. شَر means evil. وَمِنْ شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ. Nafathatun is the woman who is blowing. Nafatha means to blow into something. Nafath, who blows a lot into something. Nafasatun is a woman. Nafasat is a plural of nafasatun. Wa min sharri nafasati fil uqad. Wa min sharri hasidin. So that's three. Wa min sharri hasidin idha hasad. And from the evil of the jealous, envious, jealous. When he envies. So we have the evil of the creation, evil of the night, evil of the magic, and evil of jealousy. These four evils, and we are seeking help with the Lord of the morning, Lord of the dawn, where the light begins to appear and darkness is coming to an end. Darkness provides a shelter for crimes. Darkness provides and gives opportunities to people who are evil. They come out in the darkness of the night, in the shelter of the night, and commit their crimes. Commit whatever wrongdoings, plan the wrong things at night. Under the cover of darkness, they plan all those things for the day or for the future against people. And magic. So, going back to min sharri ma khalaq, from the evil of that which he created, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this world in the what is called nizam ihsan. He never said in Quran that I created everything perfectly. For example, human beings are created perfect, animals are created perfect, this dunya is created perfectly. That means everything will be done right, everything will be in its place, nothing will go wrong, no one will be hurt, no damage, no earthquake, nothing. He never said. He said he's telling us, I mean, sharri ma khalaq. I mean, from the things he has created, there is evil in the creation. Some evil things will happen. Some of those evil things are the choices that people make. Commit crimes, do bad things, say bad things, hurtful things, whatever. And there are things that are not by virtue of choice. They are shar of the creation, the way creation is. You know, accidents happen. Tragic, natural disasters take place, right? Natural disasters, earthquakes, tsunamis, floods, extreme weather conditions, all kinds of things that happen. So because of that, for example, if a ship is sailing in the sea and then the stormy weather happens, so the ship, you know, can sink or something can happen, right? Min sharri ma khalaq, from the evil of that which he created. Ma khalaq. Ma khalaq, you know, that which he created, makhluq. Is that the sense of the makhluq, that means evil of the makhluq. So Allah created things in nizam ihsan. Nizam ihsan means the best possible thing, the best possible way these things could be created. There couldn't be a better way, there couldn't be a better system that Allah could create. He didn't leave the, for example, a better choice and took the lesser, less better choice, you know. No. Whatever was possible, he did it. For example, for this dunya to exist, there will be all this evil. There will be all this evil. For example, for a person to ask, why did Allah not create dunya in such a way there won't be earthquakes? There won't be, for example, you know, miscarriages. There won't be disabled children born. There won't be people, for example, getting serious illnesses. There won't be, for example, you know, tsunami with 100,000 people there. Why couldn't he create a dunya in such a way, this world in such a way that there won't be these disasters? That's not possible. Because these incidents and this sort of evil shar and these sort of problems are part of the physical world. Alam e madde. When physical world, if Allah creates physical world, it will come with this. It's a package, you know. You can't say, I will take away the evil and create the world. Allah would create a world where there won't be any natural disasters. There won't be the dunya then. The perfect world is not a Madhi, because in Alam Madhi, in the physical world, they will be changed. Things are imperfect and they try to reach perfection. There's some of them. And then there'll be destruction also. Destruction. Because there's tazahum. Two processes may collide at some point. Two people may collide. Two things may collide with each other. What do you call the snows in the mountains that falls down? What do you call that? Avalanche, right? It happens. It happens. There's collision, there's tazahum. Things striking against each other, colliding with each other. All of these are part of nature. That's the process of change of that happens in this dunya. And there's no running away from it. There's no escape from it. What you can do is probably, you know, through what Allah guides us, وَمِنْ أَعُوذُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ. Seek His refuge so that you protect yourself. There are things in Quran which help a person protect yourself. One of these is this. In Surah Zilzal, it is said that it protects you from Zalzala. You know? Surah Falaq and Surah Al-Nas are two called Mu'awwadhatayn. Because the Prophet of Allah, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would put this on Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain alayhi salam as ta'weez for their protection. Because of the effects of this surah contained in these surahs, they are effects of surahs of Quran, they are books compiled, khawas al Quran, khawas of ayat of Quran. Ayat of Quran have special qualities, right? It doesn't mean that we leave our choice aside and just start reading verses and try to figure out everything through by reading verses, no. But they do help, definitely they help. Especially with the what niyat do you have when you are doing it. The more khalis you have, the more effect you will see in that. The more strong your belief is, that means, you know, there is, you are not distracted by other things, your heart is into it, facing Allah. Heart is towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the effect of that will be more. So one should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this universe in the best possible way, but there will be shar. Shar is part of this dunya. For a person that, like I said, you know, say that Allah should have created, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why did this created this dunya despite some of its evils, that there are these disasters, there are all these problems in this dunya, why did He create it? The long and short answer is, for the greater good. For the greater good, He created all this. The example is like a person, you know, who gets sick, serious, major illness, and needs a heart surgery. Heart surgery, right? Now, heart surgery causes enormous hardships, problems, before and after. A lot of people, because of, you know, cardiac issues, become depressed. They get other problem. They also face, you know, cannot be as functional as they used to be. All kinds of these problems. Now they want to have this heart surgery. Why do you have them want to have this heart surgery? What is the other option? Not do it, and who knows what may happen. So to save your life, which is the greater good, you go through, a person has to go through all these things. Major surgeries, taking medications. A child is not well. Now the mother says, "Must give." A child doesn't want to drink it, or like the child needs a shot, or some minor surgery or something. The mother cannot see the person, the child in pain, but the same mother decides that his child should have the surgery. Why? Because the khayrul kaseer, the khayr is more sharrul qaleel versus khayrul kaseer. What do you choose? A hakeem person does not choose, you know, would choose to have khayrul kaseer for the sake of sharrul qaleel. Leave the, have, accept sharrul qaleel for the sake of the khairul kaseer. Right? It is not hikmat to put aside khairul kaseer for the sake of some shar, you know. For some evil you put aside all those benefits. What are the benefits of creating this dunya, for instance, if I ask you? What is the khairul kaseer about this dunya? What is the greater good about creating this dunya that you know would justify some of these problems, deaths, accidents, disasters, even the things that human beings do, wars and killings and exploitation and oppression and everything, right? What are the benefits of creating this dunya? Any one of you like to say something? Sorry? Well, one possible, yes, when people build themselves and akhirat, what about this dunya itself? Sorry? This dunya produces those people, sorry? Yeah, it is through these trials that people are seen to be good or evil. When they, right? If they are not put through this trial, then Shimon and Imam Hussein would be the same. When you have a situation like Yazid in power, Yazid shouldn't be in power. It was people made Yazid to come into power. Because of, now people are going to be tested because of, through this. They failed one test, led to another failure, and another failure, another failure. Countries where people, you know, accept zulm, they only get a worse zulm than before. It never gets better. If the zulm of Muawiyah, people had not accepted, people had killed him, or people had stood up against him, Yazid would never have come to power. If people had not accepted Muawiyah, let him, you know, he would not have done what Muawiyah did for so many years, decades. They did it because of this. So, responsive factor of ikhtiyar is also there. Despite all this, the trial that people are put through into because of, you know, just coming to this dunya, and because of these trials, that trial, you know, clarifies everything. It puts some people on one side and others on the rest of them other side. Perhaps the good ones are few and the bad ones are a lot more. So anyone who is involved with anything to do with zulm, in any way supporting a zalim system, or by virtue of any effort that you make, you cause someone to lose his life or suffer, right? This is your choice. You're picking that choice and you're going to pay for it. Pay for the whatever you have contributed, in whatever way you have contributed, that is your choice. But this dunya has made it possible for a person to, through ikhtiyar, people reach kamal. Kamal is that thing which is chosen, not something which is given. It is chosen and a person reaches kamal. And lack of a good choice leads to zawal and destruction, halaka, deviation, and all of that. And you see, this we have no choice in this matter either. We can't give up this ikhtiyar either. We have majboor in our ikhtiyar. We are forced to be mukhtar. We are mukhtar. We have the ikhtiyar to do right or wrong. But in this ikhtiyar, we have no choice. We cannot say, okay, I want to be majboor, so that I am not held accountable. You will be held, we will be held accountable. There is nothing you can do. You cannot put aside, yeah, unless a person goes around and kills himself. That's also a choice. And he will also be paying for that. مِن شَرِّ مَا خَلَقْ وَمِن شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبْ وَمِن شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدْ. Magic in Holy Quran is mentioned in several places. One of those is here in Surah Al-Falaq, that Allah says to Prophet, seek refuge in Allah from the magic sorceresses, women who were doing magic, right? And there are riwayat also that once the Holy Prophet of Islam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he got sick. And Jibreel came to the Holy Prophet and brought these two surahs, Suratul Falaq and Suratul Nas, and told him that a Jewish person has cast a magic on you. And that thing which he has done his magic on is in some well in some place. So the Prophet sent Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, and probably some riwayat says someone else along with him, Ammar. So they went and found it and opened it. So the Prophet told him, for each knot that you open, read one ayat of the surah. So opening it, ayat, and when the time he opened the whole knot, that sickness was gone. The Prophet got up as if, you know, a person who has been was in chain and his chain has been removed from him. Now people, there is a question about how could magic affect the Holy Prophet? Well, magic does not affect the Holy Prophet. The Quran says, you are not a sahir, you have not been, no one has done any magic on you. Quran says in other places. What Quran rejects is the notion that, alaykum salam, what Quran rejects is the notion that the Holy Prophet has lost his mind. Na'uzubillah. They say that he's under magic, that means he doesn't know what he's saying. Someone else is making him say this stuff. So Quran rejected this notion. That he is like, you know, mentally disabled or something. Na'uzubillah. Magic has taken away his wisdom. That's not acceptable in Quran. But for example, for some magic to affect the Prophet physically for some time, right? For that to be removed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because just as magic is a choice for some people, the Holy Prophet has a choice to remove it either. Also, a person can do that. So that is partially what we understand from it. Although this is also a matter of discussion about what magic really is and how it affects it. But in other places in the Quran, it is mentioned too. And the Holy Prophet used to put these two surahs that I mentioned as a ta'weez also. What Quran rejects about the notion of magic on the Prophet, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَقَالَ الظَّالِمُونَ إِن تَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا رَجُلًا مَسْحُورًا. The zalimeen, the oppressive people, they say, you are following a person who has been bewitched, you know. His magic has affected his mind. أُنظُرْ كَيْفَ ضَرَبُوا لَكَ الْأَمْثَالِ. Look at how the kind of examples they give. لَكَ الْأَمْثَالِ فَظَلُّوا. They are misguided. فَلَا يَسْتَطِعُونَ سَبِيلًا. They found no way. They cannot find. فَلَا يَسْتَطِعُونَ. They cannot find any way. Quran rejects the idea that magic cannot affect the Prophet essentially, his soul or mind or, you know, anything that affects his risalat. And temporarily affected by magic, there is something some mufassirin accept, which is like coming out of this surah. And the place for that is somewhere else. But people should not, for example, put too much weight into magic and all that. Think, for example, oh, someone has done magic on me. This is not. A lot of people have their own psychological problems. They're all problems they create themselves. And they say, oh, magic, somebody's magic. It's a rare phenomenon, rare thing. Magic is not that common at all. And just like this surah, there are a thousand things you can do to save yourself from magic or to relieve, to free yourself from any magic that if someone did it. You know, Iman is the best protection against. Iman and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that nothing can affect you except, you know, what Allah wills. Even in that fold of Allah, magic comes within this. Someone exploits the resources Allah created to cast a magic on someone. He's not gone out of Allah's system. He's abusing something Allah created against someone else. That can be undone too. Nothing that falls outside the reach of a person who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ. And jealousy. From the evil of jealousy. Jealousy is something that has been considered very dangerous. For the person, as it is said, that just as a fire eats up all the wood, hasad eats up all the iman. All the iman is taken away. It burns the iman. No iman is left after you know hasad. And there's obviously a logical connection. These ahadith are not just saying random things. They all mean a very logical, can be analyzed logically. If you all put all these ahadith about jealousy next to each other, ayat and ahadith, you'll see that there's a scheme. There's a way, you know, a system which Quran is telling us about. A person who is jealous, right? He's trying to go ahead of Allah's taqdeer. You say, why Allah gave so much ilm to this person, so much such looks to this person? Why is he or she so good looking, maybe? Or why is he is enjoying so much money or fame? Or why is that person, you know, so smart? Or whatever. People become jealous. So he's like, this person is trying to get ahead of the qaza and qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ta'seer it has on iman is completely destroys it. He believes that, for example, Allah, he doesn't believe in Allah anymore. Person who is jealous doesn't believe in Allah. And all the iman is gone. Because what does iman mean really? Iman means you believe that Allah is a creator. One. Iman means that you believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a Rabb. Creator, since He's a creator, He's a Rabb. And you believe that Allah, since He's a Rabb, He is the Ilah and Ma'bud. By saying that, for example, feeling something against another person, envy against someone, right? That means you're challenging the rububiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, khaliqiyat of Allah. That means I should not follow him, right? He should follow me, rather. Because I believe that I should have had this money. Why him? Right? That means I am the Ma'bud from now onwards. Challenging the Khaliqiyat, Rububiyat and Uluhiyat of Ma'bud, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you see, just to elaborate this further, just a few minutes left, that see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a Khaliq. And that is a subject in philosophy. Why do you need a Khaliq? How do you know there's a Khaliq? All of that. How do you know there's one Khaliq? Well, that's at its own place. We discussed that. You believe there is a Khaliq. Either you believe because of some Burhan al-Mantiqi, or you believe because of Dalil al-Fitrat. Depends on your level. But the fitrat is simple, everybody can understand that. But you believe that there is a Khaliq, there is a creator for this universe. Once you believe there is a creator for this universe, right? Then all the phenomena you see, you attribute to Allah's Khaliqiyat. Which is what we call Rububiyat. All phenomena happening around you, you see that these are being created by the Khaliq. Who started creation, who is continuing to create, and by continuing this creation, he is exercising his rububiyat. He's sustaining us and guiding us, right? Allah creates the resources for the child who is not even born. So it's creating, creation. But this is a philosophical question about how do you know there is a creator? It all goes back to that. And that goes back to other things. But for now, Rububiyat, you understand that, okay, since he's the Khaliq, he only can be the Rabb. Because the Rabb has to have the power to create something, resources for the Marbub, you know. Create something for the Marbub, then you are Rabb. If you cannot create something, you are not a Rabb anymore. If you are the Rabb, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rabb, then he only deserves, you know, to be obeyed. Because if he is a Khaliq, if he is a Rabb, that means he is the haqq of ta'at. He is the one who provides, who he knows what is best for me. Manufacturer knows the best. So only he has the right to do amr and nahi. Amr and nahi is limited to him. He has the right to command or to forbid something. He has the right only. He is the ilah. Ilah means ma'bud. Ma'bud means something to be obeyed. Allah can be obeyed only. There's another meaning of ilah also in the sense of ma'luh. Something towards everyone turns. Everyone turns towards him. But ilah also means ma'bud, generally understood. Ma'bud. A person who's jealous, he's rejecting all three things. And the Holy Prophet, in the beginning of his message, he said, "Kulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu." He didn't say, "Kulu la khaliqa illallah tuflihu." Because they already believe that Allah is the khaliq. He didn't say, "Kulu la rabba illallah tuflihu." He said, "Kulu la ilaha." The final end result of all this analysis is there's Allah is the ilah and ma'bud. He said, this is where we have a conflict. What do you choose? If you choose Allah is the ilah, then you are a Muslim. If not, we don't need you. You're out. You're a kafir. If you believe Allah is the khaliq but does not have the right of obedience, He does not give me farman, He does not give me order to pay this money from your wealth, to follow this, to do that, you're like the kuffar Quraysh. Person is like kuffar Quraysh. They believe Allah is the khaliq. Quran says, ask them, who is the khaliq? They will say Allah. Even today, other religions, they say the same thing. They say creator. They call him whatever, father or whatever they call him, the creator. What's the difference? The difference is when you believe he's a Rabb, and then down to this practical thing. He is the ilah and ma'bud. His obedience is binding on me. That's where you become a Muslim. When you accept it, that's when you enter the fold of Islam. For a person to have this iman, he cannot be jealous. Because you're challenging the authority of Allah, decisions of Allah, qaza and qadar of Allah, His ilm you challenge. All of that comes into question. Iman just evaporates. Person who feels jealousy must praise the other person, must go ahead and bow and humble, show humbleness, because you see the face of Allah in this thing. This knowledge this person has, this power this person has, whatever it is I'm jealous of, this is given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He should see the face, the image of God, the action of God, mazhar qudrat, mazhar ilm of Allah in this. He must humble, must humble himself or herself to what is the object of jealousy. To save his iman, otherwise this iman will very rapidly, erode all the iman that person has. There are four things from which the refuge is sought, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to practice and apply this in our lives. Salawat.